Guardian Unlimited.
Wolf Brother by Michelle Paver is read by Ian McKellen and brought to you by audible.co.uk. Listen out for next week's instalment.
Chapter 27. The red eye was rising. Torak had only a few days to find the mountain. Even if he found it, what then? What did he actually have to do with the Nanwak? How would he ever destroy the bear? Wren crunched through the snow to stand beside him. "Come on," she said. "We've got to get off the ice river, back to the forest." At that moment, Wolf gave a start and ran to the top of a snow ridge, turning his ears towards the foothills. "What is it?" whispered Wren. "What's he heard?" Then Torak heard it too. Voices far away in the mountains, weaving together in the wild, ever-changing song of the wolf pack. Wolf flung back his head, pointed his muzzle to the sky and howled, "I'm here! I'm here!" Torak was astonished. Why was he howling to a strange pack? Lone wolves don't do that. They try to avoid strange wolves. With a whine, he asked Wolf to come to him. But Wolf stayed where he was, eyes slitted, black lips curled over his teeth as he poured out his song. Torak noticed that he was looking much less puppyish. His legs were longer, and he was growing a mantle of thick black fur around his shoulders. Even his howl was losing its cub-like wobble. "What's he telling them?" asked Wren. Torak swallowed. "He's telling them where he is." "And what are they saying?" Torak listened, never taking his eyes off Wolf. "They're talking to two of their pack, scouts who've gone down onto the fells to seek reindeer. It sounds..." He paused. "Yes, they found a small herd. The scouts are telling the others where it is and that they should howl with their muzzles in the snow." "Why? What for?" "It's a trick wolves do sometimes, so the reindeer think they're further away than they really are." Wren looked uneasy. "You can tell all that?" He shrugged. She dug at the snow with her heel. "I don't like it when you talk wolf. It feels strange." "I don't like it when wolf talks to other wolves," said Torak. "That feels strange, too." Wren asked him what he meant, but he didn't reply. It was too painful to put into words. He was beginning to realize that although he knew wolf talk, he was not, and never would be, truly wolf. In some ways, he would always be apart from the cub. Wolf stopped howling and trotted down from the ridge. Torak knelt and put his arm around him. He felt the fine light bones beneath the dense winter fur, the fierce beat of a loyal heart. As he bent to take in the cub's sweet grass scent, Wolf licked his cheek, then gently pressed his forehead against Torak's own. Torak shut his eyes tight. "Never leave me," he wanted to tell Wolf. But he didn't know how to say it. They started north. It was an exhausting trudge. The storm had packed the snow into frozen ridges with thigh-deep troughs in between. Mindful of ice holes, they prodded the snow in front of them with arrows, which slowed them down even more. Always they felt the mountains watching them, waiting to see if they would fail. By noon they'd made little progress and were still within sight of the snow cave. Then they encountered a new obstacle, a wall of ice. It was too steep to climb and too hard to cut through. Another of the ice river's savage jokes. Wren said she'd investigate while Torak waited with the cub. He was glad of the rest. The raven's skin pouch was weighing him down. "Watch out for ice holes," he warned, watching anxiously as she peered into a crack between two of the tallest fangs of ice. "It looks as if there might be a way through," she called. Unslinging her pack, she squeezed in, then disappeared. Torak was about to go after her when she stuck out her head. "Oh, Torak, come and see! We've done it! We've done it!" Wolf leapt after her. Torak took off his pack and followed them in. He hated edging through the crack. It reminded him of the cave. But when he got to the other side, he gasped. He was looking down at a torrent of jumbled ice like a frozen waterfall. Below it stretched a long slope of snowy boulders, and beyond that scarcely a pebble's throw away, and shimmering in its white winter mantle, lay the forest. "I never thought I'd see it again," said Wren fervently. Wolf raised his muzzle to catch the smells, then glanced back at Torak and wagged his tail. Torak couldn't speak. He hadn't known how much it had hurt, actually hurt, to be out of the forest. They'd only spent 3 nights away, but it felt like moons. By mid-afternoon, they'd clambered off the last ice ridge and started zigzagging down the slope. The shadows were turning violet. Pine trees beckoned with snow-heavy boughs. It was a huge relief to get in among them, out of sight of the mountains. But the stillness was unnerving. "It can't be the bear," whispered Wren. "There was no sign of it on the ice river, and if it had gone round by the valleys, it would have taken days." Torak glanced at Wolf. His ears were back, but his hackles were down. "I don't think it's close," he said, "but it isn't far either." "Look at this," said Wren, pointing at the snow beneath a juniper tree. "Bird tracks." Torak stooped to examine them. "A raven. Walking, not hopping. That means it wasn't frightened. And there was a squirrel here, too." He pointed to a scattering of cones at the base of a pine tree, each one gnawed to the core like an apple. "And hare tracks, quite fresh. I can still see some fur marks." "If they're fresh, that's a good sign," said Wren. Torak peered into the gloom. "But that isn't." The auroch lay on his side like a great brown boulder. In life, he'd stood taller than the tallest man, and the span of his gleaming black horns had been almost as wide. But the bear had slashed open his belly, leaving him in a churned-up mess of crimson snow. Torak gazed down at the great ruined beast and felt a surge of anger. Despite their size, aurochs are gentle creatures who only use their horns to fight for mates or defend their young. This blunt-nosed bull had not deserved such a brutal death. His carcass hadn't even fed the other creatures of the forest. No foxes or pine martens had gone near it. No ravens had feasted here. Nothing would touch the prey of the bear. "Woof!" said Wolf, running about in circles with his hackles up. "Stay back," warned Torak. The light was fading, but he could still make out the bear tracks, and he didn't want Wolf touching them. "It doesn't look like a fresh kill," said Wren. "That's something, isn't it?" Torak studied the carcass, careful to avoid touching the tracks. He prodded it with a stick, then nodded, frozen solid. "A day or so, at least." Behind him, Wolf growled. Torak wondered why he was so agitated when the kill wasn't fresh. "Somehow," said Wren, "I thought we'd be safer now that we're back in the forest. I thought..." But Torak never found out what she thought. Suddenly the snow beneath the trees erupted, and several tall, white-clad figures surrounded them. Too late, Torak realized that Wolf had not been growling at the auroch, but at these silent assailants. "Look behind you, Torak." He'd forgotten again. Drawing his knife in one hand and his axe in the other, he edged towards Wren, who'd already knocked an arrow to her bow. Wolf sped into the shadows. Back to back, Torak and Wren faced a bristling circle of arrows. The tallest of the white-clad figures stepped forward and threw back his hood. In the dusk, his dark red hair looked almost black. "Got you at last," said Hord. Chapter 28. "Why are you doing this?" cried Wren. "He's trying to help us. You can't treat him like an outcast."
"Watch me," said Hord, dragging Torak through the snow. Torak fought to stay on his feet, but it wasn't easy with his hands tied behind his back. There was no hope of escape. He was surrounded by Oslak and 4 sturdy raven men.
"Faster," urged Hord. "We've got to reach camp before dark."
"But he's the listener," said Wren. "I can prove it."
She pointed at the ravenskin pouch at Torak's waist.
"He found all 3 pieces of the Nanuak."
"Did he?" muttered Hord.
Without breaking stride, he drew his knife and cut the pouch from Torek's belt. "Well, now it's mine."
"What are you doing?" cried Ren. "Give it back."
"Hold your tongue," snapped Horde.
"Why should I? Who says you can—"
Horde slapped her. It was a hard blow across the face, and she went flying, landing in a heap. Oslak growled a protest, but Horde warned him back. He was breathing hard as he watched Ren sitting up.
"You're no longer my sister," he spat. "We thought you were dead when we found your quiver in the stream. Finn Kedin didn't speak for 3 days, but I didn't grieve. I was glad. You betrayed your clan, and you shamed me. I wish you were dead."
Ren put a trembling hand to her lip. It was bleeding. A red weal was coming up on her cheek.
"You shouldn't have hit her," said Torak. Horde turned on him. "Keep out of this."
Torak looked hard at Horde and was shocked by the change in him. Instead of the stocky young man he'd fought less than a moon ago, he was facing a gaunt shadow. Horde's eyes were raw from sleeplessness, and the hand that clutched the Nanuak had no fingernails, just oozing sores. Something was eating him up from inside.
"Stop staring at me," he snarled.
"Horde," said Oslak, "we've got to keep moving. The bear." Horde wheeled round, his eyes straining to pierce the darkness.
The bear," he muttered as if the very thought hurt.
"Come, Ren," Oslak leaned down and offered his hand. "We'll soon have a poultice on that. Camp's not far." Ren ignored him and got unaided to her feet. Glancing up the trail, Torak caught an orange flicker in the deepening dusk. Nearer, in the shadows beneath a young spruce, a pair of amber eyes. His heart turned over. If Horde saw Wolf, there was no knowing what he might do. Luckily, Ren had everyone's attention.
"Is my brother clan leader now?" she demanded. "Do you follow him instead of Finn Kedin?"
The men hung their heads.
"It's not that simple," said Oslak. "The bear attacked 3 days ago. It killed..."
His voice cracked.
"It killed two of us."
The blood drained from Ren's face. She drew closer to Oslak, whose brow and cheekbones were marked with grey river clay. Torak didn't know what the marks meant, but when Ren saw them, she gasped.
"No,"
she whispered, touching Oslak's hand. The big man nodded and turned away.
"What about Finn Kedin?"
Ren said shrilly.
"Is he..."
"Badly wounded," said Horde. "If he dies, I will be leader. I'll make sure of it."
Ren clapped her hands to her mouth and raced off towards the camp.
"Ren!" shouted Oslak. "Come back!"
"Let her go," said Horde.
When she'd gone, Torak felt utterly alone. He didn't even know the names of the other raven men.
"Oslak," he begged, "make Horde give me back the Nanuak. It's our only hope. You know that."
Oslak started to speak, but Horde cut in. "Your part in this is finished," he told Torak.
"I will take the Nanuak to the mountain. I will offer the blood of the listener to save my people."
Wolf was so frightened that he wanted to howl. How could he help his pack brother? Why was everything so chewed up? As he followed the full-grown Taluses through the bright, soft cold, he struggled against the hunger gnawing his belly and the muzzle-watering smell of the lemmings just to pounce away. He fought against the pull that was now so strong that he felt it all the time, and the fear of the demon he scented on the wind. He turned his ears from the distant howls of the stranger pack, the pack that didn't sound like strangers anymore, but faraway kin. He had to ignore it all. His pack brother was in danger. Wolf sensed his pain and fear. He sensed, too, the anger of the full-growns and their fear. They were scared of tall Taluses. The wind changed, and Wolf caught a wave of scents from the great den of the Taluses. Sounds and smells overwhelmed him. Bad, bad, bad. His courage failed. Whimpering, he shot under a fallen tree.
The den meant terrible danger. It was huge and complicated, with angry dogs who didn't listen, and many of the bright beasts that bite hot. Worst of all were the tailesses themselves. They couldn't hear or smell much, but they made up for it by doing clever things with their forepaws and sending the long claw that flies far to bite the prey. Wolf didn't know whether to run or stay. To help himself think, he chewed a branch, then a chunk of the bright soft cold. He ran in circles. Nothing worked. He longed for the strange sureness that sometimes came to him and told him what to do. It didn't come. It had flown like a raven into the up. What must he do? Torak blamed himself. Because of his carelessness, he'd lost the Nanwak. It was all his fault. Around him, the snow-laden trees cast blue moon shadows across the trail. Your fault, they seemed to be telling him. Faster, said Horde, jabbing him in the back. The ravens had camped in a clearing by a mountain stream. At the heart of the clearing, a long fire of three pine logs glowed orange. Clustered around it were the clan's sloping shelters, then a ring of smaller fires and spiked pits, guarded by men with spears. It looked as if the entire clan had come north. Horde ran ahead while Torak waited with Oslak by one of the shelters. He saw Ren, and his spirits rose. She was kneeling at the mouth of a shelter on the other side of the clearing, talking urgently. She didn't see him. People were huddled around the long fire. The air was thick with fear. According to Oslak, scouts had found signs of the bear only two valleys away. It's getting stronger, he said, tearing up the forest as if it's seeking something. Torak started to shiver. Horde's forced march had kept him warm, but now, in his summer buckskin, he was freezing. He hoped they wouldn't think he was scared. Oslak untied his wrists and put his hand on his shoulder to guide him into the clearing. Torak forgot about the cold as he stumbled into the glare of the long fire and a buzz of voices like a hive of angry bees. He saw Seon, cross-legged on a pile of reindeer hides, with the raven-skin pouch in her lap. Horde beside her, gnawing his thumb. Durati watching Horde, her face strained. Silence fell. People made way for four men bearing Finkedin on an Aurak hide litter. The raven leader's face was drawn, and his left leg was bandaged in soft bindings blotched with blood. His face contracted slightly as the men set him down by the long fire. It was the only sign he gave of being in pain. Ren appeared, rolling a chunk of pine log. She put it behind Finkedin for him to lean against, then curled up beside him on a reindeer skin. She didn't look at Torak, but kept her eyes on the fire. Oslak nudged him in the back, and he took a few halting steps closer to the litter. The raven leader caught his gaze and held it, and Torak felt a rush of relief. The blue eyes were as intense and unreadable as ever. Horde would have to wait a while longer to be clan leader. "When we first found this boy," said Finkedin, his voice ringing clear, "we didn't know who or what he was. Since then, he has found the three pieces of the Nanwak. He has saved the life of one of our own." He paused. "I have no more doubts. He is the listener. The question is, do we let him take the Nanwak to the mountain, a boy, on his own? Or do we send our strongest hunter, a full-grown man with a far greater chance against the bear?" Horde stopped gnawing his thumb and squared his shoulders. Torak's heart sank. "Time is short," said Finkedin, glancing at the night sky where the great Aurok blazed. "In a few days the bear will be too strong to overcome. We can't call a clan meet. There's no time. I must decide this now, for all the clans." The only sound was the hiss and crackle of the fire. The ravens were hanging on every word. "There are many among us," Finkedin went on,
who say it would be madness to trust our fate to a boy. Horde leapt to his feet. It would be madness. I'm the strongest. Let me go to the mountain and save my people.
You're not the listener, said Torak.
What about the rest of the prophecy? Said Saon in her raven's croak. The listener gives his heart's blood to the mountain. Could you do that?
Torak took a breath.
If that's what it takes.
But there's another way, cried Horde.
We kill him now, and I take his blood to the mountain. At least then we stand a chance.
A murmur of approval from the ravens.
Finkedin raised a hand for silence, then spoke to Torak.
You used to deny that you were the listener. Why so keen now?
Torak raised his chin.
The bear killed my father. That's what it was made to do.
This is greater than vengeance, sneered Horde. It's greater than vanity, too, Torak retorted. He spoke to Finkedin.
I don't care about being the savior of my people. What people? I've never even met my own clan. But I swore to my father that I'd find the mountain. I swore an oath.
We're wasting time, said Horde. Give me the Nanwak, and I will do it.
How? Said a quiet voice.
It was Wren.
How will you find the mountain? She asked.
Horde hesitated.
Wren stood up. It's said to be the furthest peak at the northernmost end of the high mountains. Well, here we are, at the northernmost end of the high mountains. So, where is it?
She spread her hands.
I don't know.
She turned to Horde.
Do you?
He ground his teeth.
She spoke to Saon.
Do you?
No, and you're the mage.
She faced Finkedin.
Do you?
No. He answered.
Wren pointed at Torak.
Not even he knows where it is, and he's the listener.
She paused.
But somebody knows.
She looked directly at Torak, her eyes drilling into his. He caught her meaning.
Clever, Wren, he thought, just so long as it works.
He put his hands to his lips and howled. The ravens gasped. The camp dogs leapt into uproar. Again, Torak howled. Suddenly, a streak of grey sped across the clearing and crashed into him. People muttered and pointed. The dogs went wild until men shooed them away. A small child laughed. Torak knelt and buried his face in Wolf's fur. Then he gave the cub's muzzle a grateful lick. It had taken enormous courage for Wolf to answer his call. As the uproar subsided, Torak raised his head.
Only Wolf can find the mountain, he told Finkedin. He got us this far. It's only because of him that we found the Nanwak.
The raven leader ran a hand over his dark red beard.
Give me back the Nanwak, pleaded Torak. Let me take it to the world spirit. It's our only chance.
The fire crackled and spat. Snow thudded off a nearby spruce. The ravens waited for their leader's decision. At last, Finkedin spoke.
We'll give you food and clothing for the journey. When do you leave?
Torak breathed out.
Wren gave him a curt nod. Horde shouted a protest, but Finkedin silenced him with a glance. Again, he spoke to Torak. When do you leave?
Torak swallowed.
Tomorrow?
The first three books in the Chronicles of Ancient Darkness series by Michelle Paver are available to download at audible.co.uk for the special multi-buy price of £14.99 until the end of August. If you enjoyed Wolf Brother, you'll want to join The Clan, the official worldwide fan site for all readers of the Chronicles of Ancient Darkness series. The Clan is where thousands of fans just like you meet for games and chat, role-playing, art competitions, writing contests and quizzes. Best of all, it's free. So go to www.torak.info, that's TORAK.INFO, and join The Clan now.
Guardian Unlimited.